Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Tuesday, May 3rd. Welcome to Midday Menace. We are killing babies and fucking fighting for God's rights. And I mean, my body, my choice, Supreme Court packing. We are here, man. And we're not going to talk about any of it because it's all fucking ridiculous. And most of society is so dumb, I can't even have conversations about it because they don't fucking realize the reality of anything, because there's all these, and just so everyone knows, I know everyone wants to find out my political biases. I think both sides are fucking idiots. And if you listen to either of them, you're an idiot. Right-wing people are talking about God and babies. Left-wing people are talking about my body, my choice. And now they can, now they know what a woman is. It's fucking miraculous, but they're both idiots. They're both not even talking about the real issue. This is not a political show, but I had to get off my chest because every tweet I read, I want to scream, you're a fucking moron. This is not about that. It's about federal or state governments. Idiots. Anyways, you know who else is dumb, Chris? Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, this shit's bad.
13 five stars, undrafted. Three of the 13 were Wolverines. I called it the underdevelopment capital of college football. Go through the list. Aubrey Solomon, five-star D-tackle, monster, undrafted. Didn't do a damn thing in maize and blue. Let's go. Who else we got here? Chris Hinton. I remember him in recruiting. Another five-star D-tackle. It was going to be impossible to run the ball on Michigan, Urban said. They got two five-star D-tackles. Didn't do dick in Ann Arbor. And then Jordan Anthony, inside linebacker. I mean, they were going to have the middle core of their defense was going to be five-star first-round draft picks. Just dominant. Didn't do shit at Michigan. Now, I'm not here to say that Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo, they obviously, some kids became really good players, but when you lead the list of five stars that didn't get drafted, didn't develop, and didn't play, you need to take an internal look at your program and figure out why you suck so bad at developing players.
Yeah, and that's a really important thing. And the rest of that list is filled with a lot of guys, some guys from Georgia, some guys from Alabama. But the like of all the teams to have multiples on that list, the other teams that have multiples on that list, they won championships in that meantime. Like, they had guys get drafted in the meantime. Like, they led the league in draft picks. And so for Michigan to not only have the most on that list, but also it's not like they're getting a ton of five stars, Zach.
I was going to say, they get the least amount of five stars.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about Alabama and Georgia. I mean, they have a slew of five stars. And right. So, yeah, every now and then one of them doesn't play because they got 50 other ones, right?
Exactly.
Michigan gets like two, and they never play. Hey, look at Donovan Peoples-Jones. One of the best receivers I saw in high school. Average-ass college career. Only reason he had any success was raw ability. No development. And now for the Browns, he's actually getting, I don't even want to say developed. I don't know who's doing it, but he looks like a much better player than he did at Michigan. At least looks like the player I thought he could be. It's just, it's head-scratching.
Yeah.
Their lack of development and lack of quarterback play. I mean, they've gotten all these quarterbacks, the Shea Pattersons, all these people are supposed to be just great. They just were average. I mean, Cade McNamara is no different. Average guy. J.J. McCarthy, we'll see what he becomes, but if history tells us anything, probably going to be an average quarterback.
It's actually alarming. I mean, the career that Jim Harbaugh built, I think he's an okay coach, not a great coach, but it's kind of been off the backs of scams, basically. I mean, he scammed his way to the NFL off the back of who? Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was going to get developed if I was the fucking quarterback coach. Like, that's how smart that kid was and how good of a player he was. Basically, Harbaugh rode his back, and what did Harbaugh do? Harbaugh jumped to the league before Andrew Luck was done there so that he didn't have to go coach the quarterback after Andrew Luck. He gets to the NFL. Things don't really go that well for him. I mean, he lost some bad games. He got upset by the New York Football Giants with the worst rush. They had the worst rushing attack in football, and yet they got loose. And they basically – Alex Smith didn't really get better. He just became more of a runner. They kind of got lightning in a bottle randomly with Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick made it to a Super Bowl, and then Jim Harbaugh, what did he do? He said, I'm out, because he knows that this is not sustainable. Gets to Michigan, has fucking Ric Flair at a party, sleeping over with punters, can't recruit, can't develop, gets a five-star quarterback, and a guy who really was one of the top receivers. He would have been the number one receiver in any one of those three classes in Donovan Peoples-Jones, and they can't do a damn thing. And it's really a shame, because of the big-time schools out there, if Donovan Peoples-Jones went anywhere else, Zach, he would have been a top three-round pick. Like, he's that good.
Oh, my
good.
God. Like, if he came to Ohio State, he would have been a first-round pick. Guaranteed. When I was there, when Heartline, I mean, obviously Heartline wasn't there, but for Heartline, I mean, it didn't matter. If he'd have came to Ohio State, he'd have been a first-round pick, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that got deemed, like our guy, the Rod Farber, he got deemed an offensive and quarterback guru, and literally the weakest part of the Michigan program since he got there has been what? Quarterback offense. Play. Yeah, it's been fucking atrocious. Play. It's like they're stuck and in honestly, the 70s or 80s.
But the reality is, why is he an offensive guru? I mean, yeah. You watch what they did at Stanford. It's not like Andrew Luck was prolific, just spreading the ball around, just spraying it everywhere. They ran like three tight ends, pounded the rock. And if there's one thing that Michigan has done decently as of late, especially, it's run the football. Well, what fucking offensive guru? What, Jim Harbaugh's a line coach now? He really knows how to run the football? Like, no, he's had decent run schemes, good O-line coaches, and they've been okay at running the football. They can't throw the ball at all. His passing schemes are just archaic. And there's a lot of times I watch him, I'm like, what are they trying to accomplish here? Like, what is the quarterback's progression on this concept? It's mind-blowing to me that people ever deemed him an offensive guru. When was their offense dynamic?
Exactly. It never was. They beat Chip Kelly maybe one time. Beat him one time. Andrew Luck, you know, had a quote-unquote Heisman moment, whatever. And then all of a sudden, this guy, I mean, he's riding the back of Andrew Luck still, and I don't know how he's still able to do it. Simply what it is. Because he's not inspiring, Zach. Like, when you listen to him at a press conference, you ever like, yeah, that's my fucking guy. I'd want to go grab a beer with him. Yeah, that's the one. No,
and I've said it, you know, Ohio High School Coaches Association puts on a clinic, and Michigan was always there. Jim Harbaugh occasionally spoke, and I've sat in on his speeches, and there's times where you, like Mark D'Antonio, when he spoke, or I think it was maybe 2014, they had just beaten us. I watched him in a clinic, and I was like, wow, that's a real dude. Like, and you kind of sit there like, it's going to be a bitch to beat that guy. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh? You just walk out like, Christ, if we ever lose to that guy. That's what I used to think. Like, if we ever lose to that guy, we should all be fired.
Woof. And that it's ridiculous what Jim Harbaugh kind of has scammed his way to. And look, he got a win, Zach. He got a win in the game, which means he's got three or four more years. It's poison. It's crazy. And I'm curious to know, like, did Urban panic when they started getting, because it was a run there where they were getting all these five stars on the defensive side. It started with Rashawn Gary, and then there was that weird run where they're getting all the tackles, all the linebackers. There were some stories about how they were recruiting. How did Urban not blow a gasket over this?
Well, he did. And it really started with Jabril Peppers. Jabril Peppers was a big time recruit. Kerry Combs was recruiting him extremely hard, and Michigan beat us and hired his coach. And that's what kind of, well, it pissed off a bunch of people in Jersey, because they didn't like that, the high school coach, but it also kind of built a little rep in New Jersey. And then they end up getting Rashawn Gary. And you know, that was another one that was five-star all everything. Ohio State wanted bad. Mm-hmm. And these five stars that I just read, I mean, it was a big deal, and Urban freaked out because he was huge into 247 sports and studying like five stars and class rankings. Because he always said, like, if they're going to keep score, you might as well try to win. They might not be right, but they're not always wrong either.
Right. You want to stack five stars. Simply is you want to stack.
Five stars. And when your rival's landing a handful of them, you start getting a little antsy. Like, wait a minute now, what's going on? Or like, are we going to have to beat a ridiculously talented football team, or can we just keep slapping this team around? And he did freak out. And I mean, it happened all the time with receivers. Donovan Peoples-Jones was the one, and he didn't really get that mad about it. I mean, both of his kids' parents went to Michigan from Detroit. Like, but was a Michigan.
You thought you had him though, didn't you?
No, I didn't think I had him. Kerry thought we had him.
Urban thought he had him.
Yeah. Kerry and Urban, cause they can't read a room. They just think that they really were, you know, did a great job in recruiting, so they're going to get the kid. And we did an excellent job in recruiting, but I would tell Urban all the time, he's like, I think we're going to get him. I'm like, coach, I'm not saying we can't. And we're doing a great job, but this kid was born and raised to play at Michigan and played high school football in Michigan. Like, this is going to be almost impossible.
David versus Goliath. It's going to be
and it was impossible because there was no reason. There was no reason that that kid would go to Michigan at all, other than he'd always wanted to go there and his parents graduated from there. There's no other reason. When it came to offense, development, depth charts, like, he would have played early for us. He would have got, I mean, we had a track record of development. I mean, the only reason you could have said that he wouldn't come is, who's your quarterback? And that's the only thing I ever dealt with in recruiting. Like, well, who's throwing me the ball? It's like, let's not talk about that. Anyways.
But wait, who's throwing the ball at Michigan, though?
It's like, right?
It's the same shit, you know? It's actually worse, to be honest. It's alarming to me. And it's crazy because, like, if you look at guys that get drafted from Michigan in the first round, even the guys that go early, Zach, it's a lot of it's raw ability. You know, Devin Bush, I mean, that was raw ability. He was developed pretty nicely as well. But a guy like Rashawn Gary, who in large part was considered a disappointment at Michigan, he's had a nice little he's got a nice little career in Green Bay right now. Like, he's a really good ball player, and it's really eye-opening because, like, every week I would read one of the guys who studies the All-22 cameras talk about, this is something that we've never seen from Rashawn Gary. Like, when we were evaluating him in Michigan, we never saw this stuff from him. He's on the same spot. They never moved him around, and we're surprised by this.
Well, and it's not just Michigan, right? It can mm-hmm. happen anywhere. It can happen to anybody. And a case in point, you know, to take off Ohio State t-shirt and fanhood here, Baron Browning's a great example, right? Ohio State didn't develop defensive players worth a shit. Mm-hmm. And Baron Browning was average at best, a role player at best, goes to the NFL, and he's having a nice, solid-ass start to what could be a great career.
It's going to be a
long
one.
What the fuck? What happened? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, Ohio State's defensive staff didn't develop him and didn't utilize him. And that's what you saw with Donovan Peoples-Jones similarly. I mean, it's very – there's a lot of parallels there, and it always speaks to the development of a program. And that's not the program as a whole. A lot of times you got to look at position coaches, side of the ball, right? Because at the same time, Baron Browning is not getting developed. There's guys on the offense side of the ball like Justin Fields and, you know, the slew of players, Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin, that were getting developed. So it's not on Mickey Marotti at that point. It's on, because Mickey Marotti's developing them all the same. And so if some positions are and some positions aren't, that falls on the position coach.
No, definitely heard that. And I, you know, one of the prime examples I use for the Ohio State defense, Pete Warner's been the best rookie linebacker in football. Like, Pete Warner was so good last year. And I think he was super undervalued by Ohio State fans. Like that kid can really, really play. And
I mean, anytime you have a linebacker that rolls and plays post safety, you got to be like, holy shit, that kid's talented.
Definitely undervalued. You know why he was underrated by Ohio State fans? Because he was white, and Tough was white. And it was just.
But different, totally different.
I know. I'm just saying, like, come on. We talk about the average fan, like, on Twitter, on Facebook. That outrage was about those white.
He also didn't have a lot of production. When you watch Ohio State's defense, like, he was a good player. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. It's not like he missed a lot of plays, but he didn't have a ton of production. I mean, these are the same fans that were in love with AJ Hawk. They were, you know, in love with Andy Katsimore. Like, I don't think that's as much. Well,
it
the
was
case.
More at the same time. It was more the same time thing is what I was more referring to. And he was a 3-star kid instead of a 5-star kid. All right, Zach. USC, it's coming out that this tampering thing is they're really going after it. They try to get the Xavier Worthy kid. That's the number one wide receiver for Texas. They tampered, couldn't get him after missing out on the Louisville kid as well. And they turned their attention to Jordan Addison, who's still not in the portal. It's getting a little weird. I don't quite know what's going on. But, Zach, is the NCAA ever going to step in at this point, or is it just fucking free-for-all?
Well, we talked about it yesterday. The NCAA, this is a pivotal moment, if anything happens. I mean, that's the reality, right? Mm-hmm. He had to be in the portal by May 1st, or else he needs to get a waiver.
Right.
And what is his waiver going to be? Because I would imagine, and that's where the NCAA can really put their foot down, is on that waiver, because they got very lax with waivers when there was no transfer portal, you know, one-time exception. When there wasn't that.
Tate Martell was a prime example.
Yeah, if you could come up with any reason, they would just approve the waiver. I think now we're going to find out, right? What is the NCAA's stance on the transfer portal? They put in a guideline, right? Had to be in the portal by May 1st. The kid is not in the portal. If he still goes through with it and tries to get in the portal, how hard are they going to be on that waiver? And then the kid could get screwed in the end. If he jumps in the portal, goes to USC, does the waiver, and it gets denied, then he has to sit out a year and then come back the next year when I'm sure he's planning on going to the NFL after this season coming up. It's just the kid's got some decisions to make, but the NCAA is going to show their hand, right? Either by how they investigate what USC did and all the stuff that went on to get the kid to think about transferring, but also How are we going to be on these waivers? Are we going to be strict on them because we've allowed them an opportunity, right? It's like when if weed is not legal in your state, right? And you catch somebody with a little bit of weed, like, are you going to prosecute them to the fullest extent? Or are you going to kind of just give them a pass, just a little bit of weed, and let them move on? Then you legalize weed and you say, this is the limit you're allowed to have under this amount of weed. If you go over that amount, they will just slam you. Because they're like, no, we gave you a little bit of leeway here. Mm-hmm. And because you pushed past what we said, we're going to absolutely just destroy you because you're not following the rules. And we gave you a little bit of rope. And I think that's what the NCAA needs to do, is they've given you this option. If you utilize it the way they said you could, then you're allowed to do it. If not, then the waiver, I mean, there better be some extreme circumstances to get that waiver approved. If it's just as laissez-faire as it was pre-transfer portal exception, then it's going to be a bad deal for college football. So all of that being said, I'm sure the NCAA, knowing how they operate and that they fuck everything up, I'm sure they'll just be like, oh, buddy, put in a waiver, approved.
He put in a waiver. Send him. It's interesting. I think USC is playing a dangerous game. And I think because of kind of how blatant they've been with it, I think that could end up being maybe if the NCAA wants to make an example out of someone, it will be USC. Like, it's just it. Like, if they really want to put their foot down, it should be against USC right now, and they can stop a lot of this from happening in the future. I'm not sure they will. You know, they tend to kind of botch this kind of thing. I am curious, though, Zach, you were talking about the weed thing, and I want to kind of segue into the Elias Ricks stuff. So Elias Ricks at one point was rumored to be looking at Ohio State. Ohio State turned him down, not because of character concerns. They're worried about their room and transfers and this and that, whatever. Elias Ricks was busted. You know, he got caught speeding, had a little weed in the car, no insurance. Is this a story?
I think it is absolutely hilarious that the minute that all broke, Buckeye fans were like, man, Ryan Day dodged a bullet here. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here scratching my head like, what? If you think for one minute that Ohio State players don't smoke a little weed, you, my friend, have your head in the sand. I mean, a kid was speeding and had a little bit of weed on him. 50% of Ohio State's roster could have the same thing happen today. We're talking about a little bit of weed. Like, it's legal in most states. Mm-hmm. And it's rampant amongst college athletes and pro athletes. So is it a big deal? I mean, it's bad publicity. It's bad PR. Like, it's not a good look on the kid that just transferred, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Character concerns is odd. It's odd that people are saying character.
The big deal is he broke the law, right? Yeah. And everyone breaks the law, you know, minor laws. Everyone does it. No one has never broken a law. Everyone in the world has went a couple miles an hour over the speed limit or done something small, right? So it comes down to that point, like, okay, well, it was wrong because he broke a law, and that is wrong. Mm-hmm. More like morally and just, you know, it's wrong to break laws, but we're going to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah. Like, it's like all the character concern stuff. And it's like, we're the same fans who, like, when Jack Miller got caught, it's like, oh, like the kid made a mistake. Like, let's wrap our arms around him, be nice to the kid. Basically, when JT Barrett, you know, had his little situation, everyone's like, oh, like, great leader, great kid, made a mistake. But it's like, nope, Elias Ricks got caught with the weed. Terrible dude. We didn't want him. We dodged a big time bullet, acting like he had three guns in the car and he was, you know, pulling up on somebody and doing some ridiculous stuff. It's silly.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to put any name out there because it's their personal business.
Right.
But I promise you, you own a jersey of a player from Ohio State if you're a Buckeye fan and they smoked weed. I mean, the odds are in my favor. I'm just saying, the odds are in my favor. There were some that didn't, mm-hmm. but overwhelmingly, the majority of players smoked a little weed every now and then. They did. I mean, maybe people don't want to say that. You watch ESPN and it's like, oh, the troubled incident for Eli Ricks. It's like, shut up. I bet you fucking post-show Kirk Herbstreit and the boys are back there chiefing. I mean, really, I don't really believe that, but I mean, you can't, it's just, It's a part of society and it's legal most places. I don't know what to tell you. A bunch of my players smoked weed. They did. And
I mean, I educated them.
I educated. And this is what you do as a coach, right? You don't put your foot in the ground and say, you better never smoke weed or we'll kick you off the team. Cause that's just naive, right? It's so ingrained in society and it's not like it's heroin or fentanyl, right? It is socially like alcohol in a lot of cultures, right? So my job as a coach was always to educate them and try to give them the knowledge and tools to understand why smoking weed could hurt their career and why that decision was deeper than, I just want to get a little high today, right? And even deeper than you could get suspended, right? You could get a ding and fail a drug test. The NFL might drop your stock and you could lose some money. It was deeper than that. We presented studies. I presented studies to my players on the effects of smoking weed on your lungs and lung capacity and how that affects your athletic performance. Like I gave them education so that hopefully they'd be like, you know what? I want to be great. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to do this. I'll smoke weed when I'm done playing or something like that. Right? Like make a business decision because of education. But the old days of like, stern iron fist, you're not going to smoke weed or else you can't play. Who the fuck is going to play? Like, I don't know. I mean, you're going to have out of 85 scholarship guys, you're going to have like 20. Mm-hmm. Good luck. Go win games. You're fired. have a good career.
Calvin Johnson, one of the all-time great receivers, obviously one of the really smart guys, talked about how he knew the schedule that the NFL was drug testing on. So he chose to smoke weed instead of taking painkillers. But he knew during certain moments, No weed, nothing.
That's why if you get somebody that fails the NFL drug test
Idiots.
For weed, I mean, they're just dumb. I mean, or they have a legit problem. Like they're smoking, I mean, just habitual, like large quantities of weed and they just can't stop. It's just who they are. And that's where you can identify a problem. If a kid fails the NFL drug test, because they all know when it is, there's no surprises.
No, the NFL basically is like, no weed. But we only test in that closet over there, so don't smoke over there.
Well, until you fail one.
Yeah, then once you fail one,
you're fucked. Because they literally, you could be on vacation in Hawaii in the off season, and they could show up at the door and hand you a cup, and you got to take the piss test right then and there.
Yeah.
But if you don't ever fail one, I mean, you got to be an idiot to fail one. Moral of the story, you really do.
Or have a problem. I want to talk about Ohio State receivers, future receivers. We talked about it probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The Brandon Ennis kid, number one receiver in the country. You took a look at him and Tate's film. Now the crystal balls are starting to roll in for Ohio State. You said when there was no crystal balls for Ohio State that he was going to be in the class. Brandon Ennis has now been crystal balled. How big is it for them to get back into American Heritage and build a pipeline there?
It's huge. And I've talked about American Heritage a ton. I know the offensive coordinator extremely well. Their head coach just left, but he was a good friend of mine also. The previous head coach, Mike Rumpf, who was at Miami, was a good friend of mine. I mean, I put in a ton of work at American Heritage, from Torrance Gibson to the slew of other players we tried to recruit. It's a powerhouse. And I think there was a stat that like American Heritage has as many draft picks as most states, first-round draft picks. It's an absolute hotbed. In Fort Lauderdale, and it's that and St. Thomas Aquinas are the two schools you have to build pipelines to if you want to recruit South Florida. We did it when I was down there, and I don't know if it has any effect now, but I mean, that kid, like I said, the offensive coordinator is a good friend of mine, and I evaluated that kid's film. He's a great player. He's not a five-star that you're worried about busting. He's dynamic. He's excellent. I've said he's going to come to Ohio State. Mainly because, I mean, I know some people there that have said he really loves Ohio State. On top of that, you just look at the tool that Brian Hartline and Ryan Day have now in recruiting when three guys go 10, 11, 12, or even if you just want to count two guys going 10, 11. I mean, just there's where else would he go? Like those kids are in great, they're different from, you know, I'm not even going to say a school like Miami Central or some other school down there where it's like, you know, it's a shit show. Who knows what the kid's going to value? American Heritage, St. Thomas Aquinas, those schools have unbelievable cultures, coaching staffs. Like those kids are making business decisions for the right reasons. They're going somewhere because they're being advised by family, by coaches, by everyone on where the best fit is for them, for their future. Who the fuck would not tell that kid to go to Ohio State?
Exactly. I mean, and if you look at him, Zach, the type of receiver that is flourishing at Ohio State now, it's not like the Ole Miss days where they need these like 6'5", 6'4", receivers who run really fast and jump really high. But I mean, Brandon Ennis is a guy who's dynamic, but he's also the little things, like he's not super fast. I mean, he ran a 4.7 40, and then he's got a 4.4 shuttle, but he's 6'1", 190, a polished cat, like a good receiver.
I'm not buying that 40 time. I don't know what camp that was at. You always got to look at, like, all right, how did it happen? Did the kid slip? Mm-hmm. Did he stumble? Like, if that kid is doing what he's doing in South Florida at that level, American Heritage is not some small time college high school program in Florida. He's doing what he's doing against Florida athletes. That fucking kid can run. That's nuts. And I think Nick has a great question here, because I guess a lot of people don't know. I get stuck in my bubble and my experiences. Like, American Heritage and St. Thomas, are they private schools and do they recruit? They're both of them are private schools, unbelievable campuses. I mean, having just a ton of money coming in from donors, and 100% they recruit. I mean, they have assistant coaches out at the youth football leagues, identifying players. I mean, Torrence Gibson's from Miami, goes to American Heritage in Fort Lauderdale, an hour away. I mean, they recruit their ass off in South Florida. And that's why you get in with them. You find out about players coming up, even ones that don't go to that school. They'll be like, because I always would ask them, like, tell me the best players in the area. And they know, because they've been recruiting these kids.
It's part of the network, right?
Yeah. And they're like, coach, I'm telling you, there's this freshman over at, I don't know, pick a school, doesn't matter where, right? And Cardinal Gibbons, you got to go check him out. I mean, we recruited the hell out of him, but we didn't get him. But he's going to be a first, you know, he'll be a 5-star. I mean, they know about all of them because they recruited all of them.
So this will be the second South Florida Express player that we're going to get, assuming that he comes. Also, it looks like Fry's going to land offensive lineman today. I don't want to spoil the fun too much there. But I think it's interesting, because if we can build a pipeline of South Florida Express, I mean, I think the skill position is just, that position is it's a Rolls Royce, it's a Lamborghini, it's everything you want it to be, and that guy can play. So I'm really excited for the future. But you had it a while ago. You're not surprised when your boy Fong had the crystal ball for USC and OU. You came on and said that, I mean, he was going to be Buckeye, and he's a really good player. Top of your board if you were doing a high school recruiting
for
board.
Sure.
So, but Zach, I don't have anything else for today. You have anything else you want to hit before we get out of here?
No, that's it. That's good. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Do me a favor, like the video, subscribe if you haven't subscribed, and comment down below whatever you want. I don't care. Comments just help the algorithm. I don't want to sit here. I hate being like that foolish guy. Like, comment below if you, whatever. Just if you want to comment, comment. It helps the video. Appreciate everybody. Menace out. Menace.